Lord willing, this will be our last Sunday dealing with this subject. And I hope that in some way, maybe it's been a help to you. And maybe you've learned some things. If not learned some things, maybe just be reaffirmed and reassured in some things. And we'll close out the lesson this morning. And I promise you this, have no intention of upsetting people when you talk about this subject, because people sometimes, when it comes to the subject of music, as the preacher said, we use the carnal mind a lot of times, and we have certain sounds and things that we like, and when you deal with those things that people like, sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. But I want to live by the Bible, and I want to do what the Word of God says, and I know that that some people will disagree, but I believe that in my heart that I know the direction of this church and the heart of the people of this church and the heart of our pastor. And that's my desire for the music of this church and the direction that, Lord willing, that we're going to go and stay on the path that we've been on and not change the course by God's grace. Psalms 92, we've used this verse as our text verse each Sunday. And I'll give you a quick review and then we'll close out with some things this morning that I think you'll enjoy hearing about. Psalms chapter 92 and verse number 1, the Bible said that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So giving thanks to the Lord is a good thing. But he connects it with the word and also dealing with the good thing, and says that it's a good thing, I believe, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So we know that music is very important, that it's near the heart and dear to the heart of God. And the Bible said that singing can be a good thing. Singing can be a bad thing. Music can be a bad thing. But music in its right place and scriptural music can be a good thing. I want to talk to you about that this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for the pastor, Lord. Thank you for the prayer room. Lord, hearing the burdens of the men. God, thank you that I am able to serve you, God, with men and ladies that have the same goal and the same desires and the same purpose. God, I pray that we would be unified as one. Lord, that we would stand, Lord, in the day and hour in which we live for truth. I pray you'd do through me and help me, God, to do what I cannot do myself this morning. Lord, touch us physically, spiritually, mentally, God. I pray you would help the hearers, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us, Lord. Touch the lost people that are here, that will be here this morning. I pray you'd save sinners and deal with hearts. Your name I pray. Amen. We said several weeks ago, begin dealing with this subject. We looked at music being a good thing. We talked about the influence of music in young people today and all that has taken place. We looked at the purpose of music, how that music is about bringing praise unto God. We looked at the priority of music, how that many times you would see spiritual music would be and come before and precede the presence of God entering into his house. We looked at the place of music, how that music can be sang in the church. It can be sang at home. It was sang in the desert, all different places, that there's no place that God does not deserve to be praised, and music is praised. We talked about the power of music and how that music is not neutral. Music is not neutral. It is not neither good nor bad, but it is good or bad, and there is holy and unholy music. We looked at the melody, the rhythm, and the lyrics of music and how that they affect the body and the soul and the spirit. We talked about the playing of music, the practicing of music, skillful music, people that did not start developing their talents and then became chosen, but they or did not wait until they were chosen to develop their talents, but they started developing their talents and they were chosen in the house of God to serve God. We talked about systematic music and choreographed music. Lesson 3 last week, we looked at the presentation of music and how that it should be presented in a spiritual manner with your spirit, and God's spirit must be involved. And I'll say this again, that music that is not heard clearly will lose its value in worship. And music that is presented in a non-emotional way will lose its value in worship. Now, you may disagree with that, but I'm telling you, you can go to some of these big churches, you know, that have lots of singing groups and thousands of people that would claim to stand where we stand, and there would be nothing in their music that you would hear that would cause you to stand back. But it is very non-emotional. Their spirit's not involved, and God's spirit is not involved, and it does nothing for the hearer whatsoever. So it must be spiritual. It must be scriptural. We said that music has has become entertainment. Spiritual music is not an industry. It was not given to make money off of. It was given to praise God and be used for the people of God and in the house of God. We talked last week about the problems of music. And I made this statement, there is a one singular right kind of music, and there are many wrong kinds of music. We talked about seductive music in regard to contemporary and pop music. We talked about country music and how sensual that it is. We talked about rock music and how satanic that it is. We talked about the Christian contemporary music, and there's no such thing in its definition. There's no such thing. The contemporary simply means that it's new, but really they're covering up the rock and roll, and they add the name Christian to it. There's no such thing as Christian rock, just like there's no such thing as a Christian harlot. It doesn't mix, and they don't go hand in hand. So we talked about that. We talked about that you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can a CD. And if they look like a wolf, and they smell like a wolf, and they growl like a wolf, then they are a wolf. There's no question whatsoever about it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to say, well, if God would deal with me, you don't have to say those things. You just deal with it and God will take care of the rest. We talked about how Balaam and Balak tried to get the people of God. They wanted to curse the people of God, but they couldn't do that. He said he couldn't curse what God had blessed, but he was able to allow the people of God to commit whoredoms with the world, and God cursed his own people. And I believe that is what has happened in regards to music. The world and the church have tried to yoke up together, and God's people are cursed as a result of it. So we talked about that last week. I want to look today at the penning of music. We'll talk about that for a minute. The people of music. And then we're going to talk about the prolonging of music, and I'll be done. The penning of music. Excuse me, how is music to be written? How are songs written? I mean, have you ever wondered that? You ever heard a song and think in your mind, how in the world did somebody just sit down and put that together? It's beautiful. It touches my heart. Where in the world did that song come from? And I want to tell you something. You may not agree with this, but it is very important where the song came from. Now, I understand there are things that we don't know and we will never know. But when we do know, for conscience sake, there are things we leave alone. So it is important to a degree where the song came from. But if you look in the Bible, you will see that there were songs that were penned as a result of deliverance. The Bible said that Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This is a song that they were singing unto the Lord as a result of God delivering them out of a situation that they were in. The Bible said that David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So songs of deliverance. The Bible said in Psalms 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. So music can be penned as a result of God delivering someone out of a trouble or a trial or a problem that they are faced with. Then we see in the Word of God there are songs of desire. We see the children of Israel as they sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." Spring up, O well. They were expressing a desire that was deep within their soul to see the water spring up. Their songs of declaration. In 1 Chronicles 16:23, the Bible said, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation." Songs of declaration. We sing one in this church. We sang it under the tent. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's a song of declaration. It's making a declaration about God. There are songs to be sung daily. In Psalms chapter 61 and verse 8, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." There are songs that were written in the dark. In Psalms 42 verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." The Bible said in Psalm 77, 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Songs that were written in dark times of people's life. Let me say this about the penning of music, and I'll move on. Music, when it is penned properly and spiritually, music should be penned direct. It should be very direct. You say, "Brother Josh, what do you mean by that?" Well, we as the people of God are not trying to sneak Jesus in on people. We're not, when we got up and preached and Brother Wells preached under the tent, he wasn't up there trying to, hurry up and get Jesus in real quick on them and sneak him in before they ever knew what happened. And we're not doing that with music either. Songs that only reference words like "you," words like "he," words like "them" and "they," but never mention nothing about Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, God. Those songs are very implicit. Music should be penned very explicit. There should be no question left to the mind about who the song is written about and who it is talking about. Several years ago, I am being critical, but not of anyone in this building. Several years ago, we learned a song here called "You Raise Me Up to Make Me Stand on Mountains." You raised me up. Who raised me up? Go through every word of that song and try to figure out who raised who up in that song. And there was an individual that sang that song, and they sang it to a woman, to a female on a TV program that I read about, and sang it to her. And said that she had inspired him and done great things for him and tried and lifted him up and helped his career in music. It had nothing about God whatsoever. And what I'm trying to say is that we should be careful that our music be very explicit about God. There should be no question left to the mind. Now, let me give you this. And you got to think through this with me. The non-denominational say that music should not be about God, or that music should not necessarily be about God, but that it should be written to God. That is where the praise and worship music has come from. And if you listen, they got the 7-11 or the 7-11 mentality. They say 7 words 11 times, and they'll think that they're praising God because they're saying, "Thou art holy, thou art worthy, thou art holy, thou art worthy," and the guitar's going and the drums are going, and they'll say it over and over again, and they think and they say in their mind and they say verbally that music should only be to God. And if you're just singing songs about God, you're really not on the same level we're on. I disagree with that because of the Word of God. There are two types of spiritual songs that you will find in this Bible. There are songs that are sung to God for people. And then there are songs that are sung for people to God. Two different types. Turn your Bible to Psalms chapter 23. Let me give you an example. Psalms chapter 23. We all know this psalm. I can see David grab the harp and play a little bluegrass lick, as Brother Grubbs would say on there, and stands up before the people wherever he's at when he begins to write it and, you know, does a little lick on that harp and strums it. And he begins to sing to the people and for the people, but he's singing to God, but he's singing for the people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is a testimony now. He's singing. You see that? He's speaking of God, referring to God, but he's talking to people. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see what's going on? He's singing for the people. He's giving a testimony, but something changes here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Something just happened in this song. He's singing for the people to God. Now he's singing to God for the people. You see what happens? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, and so on and so forth. Maybe I give you a more practical example. You come into the house of God, and Brother Keith and Miss Candace and Miss Jackie gets up. They begin to sing, walking alone, so unaware. Somebody prayed me out of harm's way. That is a song that is for the people to God. But then somebody might get up behind them and start singing, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder singing that great hymn that is written. That is a song that is to God for the people. So there's two types of song, and both of them are okay in their rightful place in the house of God. So that's why I disagree with the non-denominational crowd, because God used both kinds in the Word of God. Music should be very explicit. Whenever I start singing the words to my Jesus, I love thee, you got any? Is anybody wondering about who I'm talking about and to? There's no question. So those music should be direct. Should be very direct. Let's talk for the last few minutes about the people of music. Bible songs were written from ordinary people. They were God's people that were either writing about life experiences or times of meditation. The music in the Bible, it was either written from life experiences or times of meditation. And spiritual godly music that we use in our day should come from the same thing. It will either come from the life experience of a child of God, or it will come from times of meditation about God and His Word. My dad's written several songs, and I know several where I've been in the service where a message was preached and he would leave and go meditate about that message, and God would give him a song about the message that he heard. Solomon, the Bible said, he wrote 1,005 songs. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 32. 1,005 songs. At least 75 of the Psalms are attributed to David. 73 are known or given his name. And then two of them in the New Testament refer to David as being the author or the writer, the penman in the Old Testament. There are several that we don't know who the author was, but many are believed to be of David's.
Asaph was a great writer of music. Let me talk to you about some songs maybe that you know or you've heard and how they were written. A man by the name of Robert Robinson got saved under the ministry of George Whitfield. He got into Christian ministry and began serving God. But they said that as he went in his life that he tended and began to wander from God. Got away from God. They said that this man, as he was going through his life and straying further and further away from God, that he got on a stagecoach. That as he got on there, this woman began to express her faith to him. And he really, it made him mad because he wasn't right with God. And she said, well, let me tell you about some words to a song that I heard. And she began to repeat the words of the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And she got to those words, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Mr. Robinson began to weep and he said, ma'am, you don't realize this. He said, but I'm the one that wrote that song. And they said that when that man heard those words, that he began to weep and he got right with God and never strayed from God ever again. What about this song? They say that Reverend Alfred Ackie was preaching during an evangelistic crusade. After the service, he was trying to persuade a young man to give his heart to Christ. When the man looked at him and said, why should I worship a dead Jew? Mr. Ackie stated loudly. He said, he lives, I tell you. He is not dead, but he lives here and he lives right now. Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before. And he said, I can prove it by my own experience as well as the testimony of countless thousands. They said that young man ended up getting saved that night. And they said Mr. Ackie went home and he began to write down these words. He said, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. What a song. A man by the name of Mr. Brundage was up preaching and he ended one of his sermons making this statement. He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. And to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. Mr. Philip Bliss was sitting there in the congregation that day and he went home and began to pen these words, almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Fanny Crosby, probably the greatest hymn writer that has ever lived in my opinion. You may disagree with that. But she said this, sometimes I need to reject the music proposed for my songs because the musicians misunderstand that the Fanny Crosby who once wrote for the people in the saloons has merely changed her lyrics. Right. Then she said, oh my no, the church must never sing its songs to the melodies of the world. Right. What about some of the songs that she's written? Let me name a few of them to you. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. She wrote this song, Up Calvary's Mountain, One Dreadful Morn. Walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. She penned these words, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. She wrote the song, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. She wrote the song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. She wrote the song, Pass me not, O gentle Savior, Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. She wrote, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. She wrote, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. That's some of the people of music. That's the kind of lyrics and music that I want to be associated with. There is nothing wrong. He put a new song. There's nothing wrong with new music as long as it is written in a scriptural, spiritual way. But most of the people that are writing the music in our day and time know nothing about these kind of experiences, and they know nothing about the times of meditation that these people experienced. Let me ask you this question. Brother Jeremiah, if you could find the words to Blessed Assurance or the page number, we're going to sing that in just a minute. Does the music that you listen to and like minister to your soul? Or is it just a show? Ask yourself that question. Does the music you listen to move your heart? Or does it just move your hips a little bit? Does the music that you listen to make you want to shout? Or does it make you want to go sin? Does the music that you listen to magnify the Savior or the singer? You ought to ask yourself that question. And I made this statement in the very first lesson. Would we sing the songs you listen to, would they be sung in heaven? You think they would be? Do you think God would let us sing it in heaven? I said this last Sunday. If it's questionable, it ought to be out of the question. If you got to ask yourself, is this okay? You ought to just get rid of it. If it's questionable, if it is questionable, it ought to be out of the question. Say, well, Brother Josh, music is really not that important, you know? I mean, you know, it's just something for entertainment. We listen to upon this earth, and when we get to heaven, you know, it'll all be done, and it's really not that big of a deal. Well, Bible said in Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Say, music's not that important. I beg to differ this morning. Because when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to be doing? Singing. A new song about redemption. A song that the angels can't sing, that they know nothing about. But the saints and the people of God, the Bible says right there that the people of God will still be singing unto God. You know why? Because singing is praise. Because the purpose of music is to uplift God. And when we get to heaven, it will be an eternity of praising God. And we will break forth into singing. Maybe some of the hymns that's been written, maybe we'll get to sing. I don't know what all we'll sing. I know one song we're going to sing. I don't know what all we're going to sing. But we'll be singing. Music is vitally important. It is important to worship. It's important in the house of God. It's important when you turn the radio on in your vehicle. It's important when you put the CD in at home. It's important, young men, when mom and dad ain't around and it's just your friends riding down the road with you. It's important then. And it's important this morning when we get up in the choir and we sing. It's very important. I wish that there would be some people in here that would get a burden to write some music. We need some music in this day, like the music of old. People talk about the old time hymns and singing the old time hymns, and I'm all for it, but I'm for new songs. Get a burden on your heart. Take a life experience. Some of you are great at poetry. Many of these people that wrote were poets. They were great and gifted to write poetry, and God would deal with their heart about something. I pray that God will move on the heart of people in this church and write music for us. Brother Jeremiah, if you'll come, I want to close out with singing this song, Blessed Assurance. If everybody would stand, Jesus is mine. Think about the words you're singing. Don't just sing words. Think about what you're saying. Think about what was going on as it was written. Think about what it's saying about God, to God, and who it's written about. When we close, Brother Farmer, if you'll close us in prayer, and we'll be done.
Page 181.
Blessed assurance.